Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We're continuing our conversation in the second hour with Larkin Rose, author of The Most Dangerous Superstition. Goodman. And he also did a short story that has been made into a full-length movie. This is a feature movie. It's very, very, very nice, well done, called The Jones Plantation.
We now have the opportunity to have a discussion that's everywhere that doesn't rely on the Hollywood studios, like, they have no say in it. They don't, like, Andrew and I own the film, and that's it. There is no, we don't have to answer to somebody else or change it, because, like, yeah, that wasn't ever.
Okay, I say this. I want to make sure I share this with the audience that's here for you, just to, so that they know. Years ago, there was an indie film that was done, guys that used to make Star Trek indie films of whatever, you know, and then Paramount, you know, started getting all whiny about it and everything, which is stupid because they were promoting the whole genre anyway. But the, so they go, all right, we're going to do our own film. This is out of Europe, Austria, or something. And they come up and they wanted to make a film. It was crowdsourced. People kind of put in their stuff on it. It was kind of, you know, kind of having a, it's not like Jones Plantation, but they had a message in there, you know, it's kind of government bad. Well, it was called Iron Sky. Have you ever seen Iron Sky? Nazis on the dark side of the moon! Okay, have you seen that movie?
No, but I've heard of it.
No. Iron Sky. Now, they had a second one, which was kind of, yeah, whatever. I paid $35 to pre-purchase the Blu-ray when it comes out kind of thing, which is what Larkin can do, is a crowdsourcing of the next movie. Now that you got this one under your belt, I bet you probably, the value of this movie is the crowdsource funding of the next movie. Okay, that's what this one does. So, Iron Sky did, one of the Ron Paul activists, a young guy in his 20s, he and another activist woman he was with, they got married, and now they got, like, God, seven kids or something, some ridiculous thing. But they, he was on my butt. You gotta watch Iron Sky. Yeah, I gotta watch Iron Sky. Yeah, I watch it. One day he came over with a memory key that put in my TV. Hell, I didn't even know you could do that on, you know, the TVs. So he puts it in there, sit down, you're watching this now, damn it. Okay? Alright, fine. So it was, you know, big propaganda piece that they're going to the moon, and they had some black actor that goes with them, so it was black to the moon, you know, that kind of thing. So it was just, you know, fun, and it was like Sarah Palin was now president, so this is like in the future a few years, so Sarah Palin was kind of played, you know, was kind of that character. So I'm going, okay, they go through, it was a great movie, it was fun, it was kind of, you know, whatever, blah, 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 and Nazis were, you know, hiding out on the dark side of the moon, you know, that kind of thing, ready to come back with their blimp spaceships and, you know, throwing asteroids at, whatever. The point was, it had great effects, it was really quality done, a lot of, you know, good CGI, but it was not focused on CGI crap. It was that just kind of added to it, but it was the story and the film. And what, so I was reminded of that when I watched The Jones Plantation. The reason it was such a big deal to me Because I go, no theater would touch it. Because it didn't come out of the studios. It was an indie thing. It was crowdsourced. They didn't have to pay Hollywood. Nobody made any money in the industry on it. The theaters wouldn't touch it. They didn't want to encourage this independent filmmaking kind of thing. And it became a cult classic. So much so that it funded the next one. So then you go, which had Hitler riding Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, really crazy stuff that people throw in there because they can, right? You know, for $10,000, what scene can I get in there? I mean, that kind of crap. So what happened was, and it was awesome, but it demonstrated that there is an independent filmmaking capability with the technology now and the software and the editing ability and the CGI and the green screening and all this stuff, that it has gotten to the point that you don't need Hollywood studios, their distribution thing, the theaters, the AMC of Harkin of whatever the hell, they can suck it because the people can do it themselves. They can make their own printing press. It's just like, I remember when cut and paste, doing newspapers, was cut and paste of actually on the big things you had to take photos of, or now you just send them, you know, a PDF file and they print the newspaper. You know, it's the same kind of thing. With the internet, with the ability to make these kinds of films, with the, I remember when we were first activists doing, I had a big Panasonic, you know, big memory card that went in and the big camera, whatever. I can do that with an iPhone. You know, it's just, it's so different now to be able to do this kind of stuff. And all you have to do is be a Spielberg at 8 years old, use an 8mm film, the Kate, whatever, that's how he started going on up. And all of a sudden you got E.T. that's shown forever and always. Well, the same thing is happening now with guys like Larkin with these types of opportunities. So what do we got to look forward to? A whole bunch of messaging, a whole bunch of, yeah, did you know about, did you see, and go look at. And they, them, those can't do anything about it as soon as we get off of this technocratic, technocracy-controlled, big tech, internet of whatever the hell it is. We are going to have, and it keeps getting further and further, which is my big advocacy, IPFS, Cordal, Bastion, all these, if they're not decentralized, Matrix, whatever, if they're not decentralized to where they can't be deleted, where files and video like this, when we get done with this, it's going up on servers in a format that you can't delete it. You can't edit it. You can't censor it. You can't. Because suck it, you know? So this is what the future is. Then it's going to be the indexing of it, which we have cracked at just a few months ago. Derek came up. Yep. Now you can index and search all IPFS, which was a thing before because you couldn't. Well, now you can. Now what? I don't know. But it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And these guys could suck it because what are they doing? They're repressing as much of not just the content, but the capability of having your own content. They see that as a threat. Because if you're not in control, you're out of control. And they can't handle you being out of control. Larkin, Rose, out of control. What are you going to do? So what's your next project? Now you got this going. Are you just going to be spending time promoting this, or is this going to segue into something else?
Yeah, we're trying to push this all over the place and see if we can get some of the people with huge podcasts who are, you know, they can be statists. I don't care. I just want them to see the movie and say what they think about it. Because that's actually, I'm more interested to see how it hits with normal people. And I think that can be a whole lot of fun discussions. So obviously we're promoting the hell out of this and trying to get it where we can.
I got trash can flyers be a coming again. Feel me? Come on, come on. Yeah. It's all that street activism Ernie crap, you know?
Yeah, and whether it's like physical pieces of paper or just people talking about it on the internet or whatever.
Hey, man, they talk about it on the internet after they get a physical and a love card for Christmas in the parking lot at the mall. We're doing this already. I'm coming from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I won't be a butthead. You might as well get included. Because the thing is that it has... You know, this is how I attack it. When you have somebody of influencer, you know, a podcaster, a media personality, a news anchor or whatever, find out where they live, and you put it on every doorstep of every neighbor they got within a three-block radius except them. And then, you know, everybody's like, yeah, did you see the gun? You should know about gun. You know, it's just a bombardment because that's what happens to them. They're being bombarded by they, them, those over or whatever. That's why it's the freeway overpass size. That's why it's the size. That's why it's the skywriting. That's why I've done so much. You know, every mall around your house gets on every car during the shopping season of a nice Christmas card that has, and oh, by the way, Freem's asked, what's the question? So that's why I do street activism. I'm not counting on some big tech, the press, to all of a sudden do it for me. They actively make sure you don't. So I'm going, screw you. You bypass them. Street activist. That's me. Me. And I got a little bus. Telling you, man. You know, Corbett and I are going to be hitting Arizona hard this winter season. You know, we'll talk about it, you know, when I get up to get back to Arizona, because definitely want you to be included, and we're going to whip some ass, because there's so much talent in Arizona. Now, hell, Ernie Larkin, you know, boom, there you go. So there's a lot of other people, you know, that moved to Arizona from a lot of places, because Arizona kicks butt. What do you think, Arizona? You liking it there?
Yeah, I mean, the summers is just a microwave in Phoenix for a couple of months, but you just live through that, and the rest is awesome. And I already was under the impression, based on, like, book sales from before, I think there are more voluntarists in Arizona than anywhere else in the world. And I think that was already true, like, years ago, and just based on, like, I see a lot of orders going to Arizona, and it wasn't even people who were, like, organized and have a movement and know each other. It just, you know, however it happened, there were a lot of people there.
I'll tell you, it happened, and it wasn't by accident, okay?
I know.
That was freaking 90s, a whip ass. That's what it was. See, I already know what it takes to change general public opinion. So this is, I don't think I know. I freaking know. Man, my kids hate when I say that. I go, look, I don't think I know. I know exactly how it happened. And it's just, I can go on and on and on about it, but it took a tireless minority setting brush fires. We were in their face. Well, when the Ron Paul thing came out, and it just exploded. The Levolution started the year before in the 06 election cycle. That's where that logo came from. And I just, you know, took it and made the Ron Paul Levolution thing, you know, from previous campaign that we had. So when that went, I knew it was going to happen, because we did it in 94, you know, with another campaign. We did it in 06, you know, a campaign I was running for Secretary of State with Still Voting, with the V for Vendetta as the V in voting thing. And the Levolution was one of the logos in that campaign. So I already knew how the impact and the rhetoric that happened, and Ron Paul represented that. And I'm going, watch this. And they're like, what do you think's going to happen? I go, watch this. There wasn't a doubt in my mind, because I was already getting people with tattoos of that logo before even that. So I'm just like, here we go. Well, what was it? What was the secret sauce? Consistency, passion, clarity, confidence. You know, having people understand. I'm not trying to convince you, you know, to agree with me, okay? I just want you to understand why I'm so convinced. Once you do that with the material and the ability to share with things like your books and Jones Plantation, it just builds on itself. And when we go to Sedona to speak, that's what I'm going to be focusing on. I'm going, you guys want to see what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen, because I know how to make it happen. You know, Larkin deals on a much larger global base, you know, around the world. And I focus on Arizona IA, because 4 kids, 12 grandkids, guess what? And I'm going to be out in the desert, and I want you to leave me the hell alone. And they're not, so we're going to have us some fun. And because one last thing I got to do, Larkin's got a nice movie for me to pirate the shit out of. Ooh, did I say that out loud? So, you know, this is going to be, you know, get over it, man. Just get over it. You know, you can yell at me all like Russo did until he didn't anymore. You know.
But I think that's something that's, like, sadly lacking in a lot of the movement, I think, and it's just it's a human nature psychology thing, that there are a number of people who are already voluntarists or whatever, And they are more concerned with, like, hiding in a corner and telling the world how right they are than they are of making the rest of the world understand what they understand. And so when somebody, like, what you're doing and, like, what we do, where the goal is to get everybody to understand what we know rather than just sit somewhere and whine about how wrong they are. And it's sad how – that's why I've long said that I think voluntarism is – absolutely predestined to become the whole world, largely in spite of much of the movement, not because of it. And there are parts of the movement, like what you're doing, that's actually outreach and trying to talk to the rest of the world and get them to recognize this is what actually fits with who they really are and what they really believe in. They've just been taught a bunch of authoritarian garbage that's getting in the way. But it's sort of frustrating how many people seem to they're so focused on being different that part of them doesn't even want the rest of the world to understand what they understand and move forward. And that's just, I've said it a million times, I long for the day when everything I've done becomes completely unnecessary and worthless because everybody understands all of it because it's all self-evident anyway. And then humanity can start being humanity. And I think we're in the beginning of that, but we're moving along really fast precisely because normal people, like the contrast between when these ideas are delivered in a like rational, sane, logical way, and then looking at the government and how ridiculously like desperate and just fascist they're becoming all over the place, even the normal people who never wanted to have to think about any of this stuff, never cared about politics, they're starting to recognize, first of all, I can't just ignore it and have it not exist. It's going to butt itself into my life. And second of all, I can't pretend that what we have is okay. And that's, you know, the main punch in the face that I want people to get from Jones Plantation is to realize what we have isn't just, oh, we need to tinker a little bit and it's not quite as good as it should be. It's profoundly insane and evil. And showing the sort of behind the curtain stuff of how these psychos actually do stuff, I want it to disturb people because I want them to recognize, that's not what I want and that's not what humanity should be. And are we still falling for this? Is this what's actually going on behind the scenes? And recognize that this isn't something you can just pretend isn't there because it's like destroying lives and, you know, creating wars and all sorts of stuff. And to sort of give people a rude awakening that they probably don't particularly want, but weirdly, those in power are helping force those people to acknowledge it. Like the last few years, a huge number of normal people who just minded their own business and never thought about this were sort of kicked out of their comfort zone by the control freaks ruining their lives and trying to shut things down and force all these stupid mandates all over the place. To the point where a bunch of normal people are like, no, I'm not putting up with this. Like, that's, like, gone too far.
Yeah, okay, the next round of this pandemic thing, what do you think? People are going to go, yep, oh, we got round two, sign me up, here we go, give me a shot.
The thing is, I almost, like, I can't ever hope they try it because it's, you know, it destroys people's lives and it actually causes harm. But if they do, they're going to find out a lot of people who went along the first time are going to be like, no, we're not doing that again. Because... and this was weird because I was saying this at the beginning, like a bunch of these lies are going to fall apart and they're going to have to come out and admit that they lied about all this stuff. And they have, like the mainstream, one little thing at a time. And they try to like control the leak of it, of like admitting, well, yeah, it turns out that the stupid social distancing did nothing and the shutdowns did nothing. Well, they did nothing positive. They did massive amounts of harm and we were wrong about this and we lied about that. And When the people in power rely on a bunch of lies that can't possibly continue, that are doomed to fall apart, that shows me that they're desperate and they're thinking short term. They didn't used to be that stupid. They were planning like for humongous way in the distance. And when I see them making moves, that's like a desperate thing that sooner or later is going to blow up in their face, that's a good sign, even though it's, you know, harming a bunch of people in the meantime. But if they tried the same thing again, I think a huge number of people would go, we're not doing that again.
No,
like we went along with this for the first time, like some of them did. And we believed you. We took your word for it. We did all these stupid things. It didn't do any good. It destroyed millions of lives. Turned out you were lying about all of it. If you try that again, we're just not freaking good.
Right. This is when it first started, I could see when they did the 2 weeks to flatten the curve thing. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a couple of weeks, you know. And I'm like, all right. We'll see what's up in 2 weeks. You know, we'll take a 2 week, have everybody take a vacation. We'll see if the bodies start piling up like cordwood in front of the, you know, hospitals. I mean, well, and they wanted to give that impression. But fortunately, yeah. What was the difference? Which is why we created Freedom's Phoenix. From the ashes, freedom's rebirth, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, there'd be ashes in Portland, and we're kind of, you know, whatever. You could see it coming. I tell you, when it was the end of 19, when we had our vaccine education summit, and we had, you know, a bunch of the guys like, you know, Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dale Bigtree and a bunch of other guys. And we had done one in 16, and we could see what was coming. And there was going to be a lot of mandates, eliminating exemptions, and big pharma is going to whatever. Five legislators came to the summit. It was a packed thing, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're for freedom. I'm going, I get up after lunch, and I get up and I go, introducing the afternoon, and I said, traitors first. I go, I know you guys, when Big Pharma comes up and said in your marching orders, if you're gonna, you're gonna, and all the promises you're making these people is all BS. And I go, traitors first. FYI, now for the next speaker, I mean, you like that thing. Because I just know the way these guys operate. So it was my goal at the end of 19 to make sure that people understood that this is, here comes the next wave of totalitarian if they have to. They had to do some stimulus. They had to do something. The economy was going to go to crap. They had big pharma's wanting to make sure they get bank on the vaccine thing. They already had $1 million grants to any legislator that would eliminate an exemption or create a mandate. That was it. So you know they were flooding it with whatever. At the same time, they're doing all this was planned. So when we did the Love Bus and we went on the Love Bus Liberty Tour, it was in direct opposition plan. We were ready to do signs all over the nation on this small little county, helping the little, you know, Jones Plantation in Virginia, you know, that they got the people all, you know, lined up and going to get them, and they didn't have enough masks and can't open their gym, their restaurant, their church, their whatever the hell. We go explain it to them. But our whole goal was to give competence in resistance to gain confidence. And once you do that, that you can have a say, once they get that feeling of no fear, once they get that feeling that they can do it, once they get that feeling of putting up a sign for Ron Paul, once you get the spontaneous order of I'm not alone and people do it, it changes things, which is exactly what you're seeing in Arizona. Because we did that for, God, decades. I mean, we're just, until I left, it was, you know, it was constant. I can't even keep track of how many times we'd take advantage of doing whatever and it piss off they, them, those. Well, did they change? Are they getting better? No.
We don't
it gets worse.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated that a ceasefire with Hamas would be considered a surrender for Israel.
It is time for all of us to decide if we are willing to fight for a future of hope and promise.
or surrender to tyranny and terror.
He emphasized his commitment to bringing hostages back and highlighted that Israeli forces are making efforts to avoid civilian casualties, while Hamas is deliberately putting civilians in danger. Some fiscal conservatives are uneasy about a Texas plan to allocate $1.5 billion for a border wall.
I'm not sure that the best use of money is for a wall.
Republican State Senator Charles Perry believes the root problem lies in the federal government's neglect. He advocates for the state to prioritize apprehending and detaining asylum seekers as a more effective approach to grab the White House attention swiftly. Dave Collins, USA News.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live network on Genesis, in our final segment with Larkin Rose, the author of several books and the creator of the movie The Jones Plantation. Very interesting. Enjoy. Well, did they change? Are they getting better? No. It gets worse. Because Arizona is, you know, it's like you got a 2x4 or 50 nails in it. Well, which one are they hammering? The one that's pulling out. We start pulling the nail out of Arizona, they come with a big hammer. Here comes Sheriff Arpaio. Here comes Janet Napolitano. He gets elected, supposedly, I don't trust the system, attorney general, governor, then leaves to go be head of Homeland Security out of Arizona. How the hell do you think that happens? Why do you think that happens? Because the nail was getting pulled out. So we start pulling the nail, they're going to come again. Bring it! Larkin's here now. Yuck, 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 yuck. So I'm going to have me some fun get back to Arizona. But I got to focus on building my home in the desert as the promise I made to Donna. She's been with me for decades on this. But now, and all I want to do, if they leave me alone, it's all good. I'm out in the middle edge of the desert, nearest neighbor, you know, almost a mile away. I just, just leave Ernie alone. Will they? Will they? Well, just like I knew it was going to happen in 20, I'm getting ready. OccupyTheLand.org. We're getting ready. So the thing is that I am going to be using Larkin like a freaking, you know, mop up mop if I need a mop. You know, all their state is bullshit. You know, ooh, did I say that out loud? You know, this is, I'm telling you, this is going to be some fun. So are you ready for some fun, Larkin? What are you looking to do? How you entertain yourself up against the beast, man? Come on. Come on.
I'm too busy to entertain myself. Busy causing trouble everywhere. But it's really fun to see how many people, like I've said before, my first book was called How to Be a Successful Tyrant. And the dumbest thing you can do is if you're a tyrant is teach your subjects how to say no. And they just did that all over the place to the point that even a bunch of their enforcers were like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like it happened in Chicago with some stupid gun law and most of the counties were like, we're not doing that. And then down in New Mexico where psychos like, well, we're going to temporarily like erase the Second Amendment. And a whole bunch of sheriffs were like, yeah, no, you're not allowed to do that. And so when even your own enforcers were going, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Like, that is one of the best representations to the rest of the people to get that idea in their head. As you well know, most people, it never occurs to them. Like, you're allowed to petition. You're allowed to vote. You can vote for Mr. Jones or Mr. Johnson. You can speak at one of the meetings about what you're not happy about. But when people realize, wait, you mean we can just say no and then not do what they said? Yeah, and if only a couple of you do that, you might get a tank in your living room. If half of you do that, nothing happens to you. They don't have the resources to enforce it. But that mental step of being able to get to the point where, and I want Jones Plantation disturbing people because Samuel, like the one guy really understands what's going on, he brings this up. It's like, why are we playing by their rules? And like, freedom is ours the moment we claim it. Like, why are we asking their permission? Why are we saying, will you please pass this legislation that tells us we're allowed to keep? No, screw you. We're allowed to do that because we say so. And a lot of people are getting into that mindset who were never there before. And that is the revolution that matters. It's happening between their ears where they realize, oh, yeah, this is wrong and I don't have to do what they say. And as fundamental as that is, most people never think that. But a whole lot of people are thinking that now, where they're not about whining for permission to do anything. And to see normal people get into that mindset is awesome. And there were a bunch of cases of that in the last few years. Like, you know, a gym owner in New Jersey was just like, yeah, I'm just not going to close. And the lady with the salon down in Texas and that they tried to, like, jail for not closing down. And there was this huge backlash and they immediately let her go. And just when people recognize that they actually have the power and all of the power of big, scary government just comes from the compliance of their victims. And
Bill Mooney!
It's the only place it ever comes from. And that actually shows up in Jones Plantation, where if people are scared and want somebody else to be in charge, then they can be ruled. When they actually want freedom, that's it. That's the end. You're done.
Okay, but what about voting yourself free? Is that a thing?
No. And that's one of the things that I want sort of kind of pro-freedomish people to notice is Noah, one of the workers / slaves, has a very short attempt to run for office. Yes, that's a reference to all third parties, including the libertarian. It's like, well, why on earth would you think that the system they built to trick people into putting up with their slavery and thinking they can send, why do you ever think that you're going to be able to use that to get people free? So we had to throw in that reference, and I hope people notice and go, oh, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been voting for Noah this whole time instead of figuring
out. Well, that's one thing that we're trying to do. This graphic in the black area on the top right where it says still voting, it had little font that said ErnestHancock.com, Secretary of State. And at the bottom, it said endorsed by FreedomsPhoenix.com, just to get that in, just piss them off. And this was, but the whole sign was really just to get that up there. That was 2006. Yeah. At the same time, that's where the Levolution logo came from, because I had a vinyl sticker kit that had that on there. I saw the Beatles did the reverse love thing, whatever. So that. And this was voted the most popular sign in the newspaper that year. And they freaked. When the election was over, I went out to collect up all my signs, and within a day, they were gone. I'm like, those bastards stole all my signs. Then I found out what happened to them. They were in people's garages. They had them all over the place. They were at ASU campuses. People wanted that sign. And I'm going, okay, that's good, my donation. So the thing is that this campaign, this concept, this ideology, this advocacy that Larkin Rose does with his films, his books, his stuff, I don't think I know. I know Arizona is prime for this. They always have been. Bob Anderson and I, a good friend, lives out in the West Valley there. We, you know, there was dozens of us. You know, there was, you know, probably a couple of dozen that were hardcore activists, which was the beginning, the core, the start of the Ron Paul revolution. It started in Arizona. We had a workshop. We made all these signs, shipping them all over the place. Send me videotape of you. And it exploded. Within a couple of months, boom. I remember it was like May of 07. Ron was in Des Moines, Iowa, at a convention there, and he goes, thanks for letting me join your revolution. I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Because he understood. It wasn't about him. It was about the philosophy. It was about, even with MAGA and Trump, it's not about Trump. He's just a side effect. It's just pissed off people. It's the people that they are going after that they want to make afraid, that they want to, it's MAGA. They got, even Kamala Lady Harris, you know, she wants to, like, you know, we know who you're after. We're going to get some. We're going to put all the J6 people in jail. We're gonna. Okay? And then what? Then what? You're gonna try to ratchet it down more, tax some more, regulate some more, and at some point, all this stuff, the education that people get from people like Larkin Rose and all of what the activists do and Levelish, whatever, all of a sudden the people have a language. They have an ability. They have a reference. They have a tool that they can go, nah, what they said. Not what they said, what they said. And not what they said, again, not what they said. They're lying sacks of snot, and they went, yeah, but we are fact check. You know, we fact checked ourselves, and we said that, you know, we're right and they're wrong. I mean, it's just, all of a sudden, this is how revolutions start up here. It's not down here. It's not all this, you know, vote harder, you know, or vote, or whatever the hell you're doing. It's just general public opinion. Hey, you suck. I'm going to take care of it myself. I'm going to build my own home, educate my own children, grow my own food, you know, communicate myself in a decentralized mesh satellite of sucking. I mean, once this, the technology gets up to it, which is why we did PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Pirates Without Borders, the advocacy of decentralization of everything, and a bunch of news articles and equipment technology that supports that, just to give confidence. What Larkin's been doing all this time, because I remember Larkin, when his name came across, you know, my radar screen as an activist libertarian, God, long time ago, early 2000s, 90s, whatever. What year was it that you went to prison for challenging and asking questions about IRS jurisdiction of? What year was that?
2006. They stole all of 2006 from me. So I just wrote books.
It was that late? Really? I thought it was even earlier than that. But what we did is before the Levolution, and there was these, what did they call it? IRS code, section 841 or something like that, or
861.
861. Yeah. Wow, that's close. Okay. So 861, they have, you know, it's like your income is not taxable because of, you know, it's not income, wages, or whatever BS. So the thing was, is Larkin's going, nope, make them make you, make them say it. Okay? I'm with Larkin. So he knew he was right. He pressed it all the way, and they go, yeah, well, we don't like the way you're doing it because you're going to challenge the entire, you got to do time. And they go, well, your daughter is going to go in foster care if we take you and your wife and put you in jail at the same time because we're the government and we can't. But if you plea or if you agree or if you whatever the hell, we'll put you in jail for a year. Then you get to take care of your daughter. We'll put her in jail for the year or we're just going to do all it. She goes foster care. No love for these sons of bitches. Okay? This is how they operate. Why? Because they can. There's no justice, no truth. There's no American way. American way is them doing whatever. So from that, you can see Larkin was adamant about asserting his rights, the truth, and gosh darn it, you have no idea who you pissed off. Well, what finally happens? Book, advocacy, him speaking at a lot of events. Yeah, what Larkin says, doing battle with the statist or the minarchist or whatever the hell they are. And then all of a sudden, boom! Jones Plantation, this is what I've been trying to tell you. It's a tool. Go use it. I'm willing to do it. Peace. That's how I know you. You've been an inspiration for a long time. And now Larkin's in Arizona. Nyup, 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 nyup. So this is, yeah, I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to have some fun. All right. So anything else you want to say before we break, man?
I guess the main thing is, I've said it a million times, but, like, it's fun to have a movie that pro-freedom people can watch and go, yeah, oh, yeah, that's so true and that's so real and stuff. But that doesn't actually fix anything. I wanted this made because I think it's really powerful what it can do to make all the other people actually think about stuff. And so as much as I want people who are already on my side to go watch the thing, I want them to show it to their family and their friends and their enemies and their coworkers and everybody else they can think of. Because I think it has an opportunity to make people think in a way that almost nothing else that the freedom movement does, not quite nothing, because it doesn't just tell them your belief system sucks and you're advocating evil, which, by the way, is totally true, but people don't like to hear that. But if you can show them an allegory and a fictional story and have them figure it out, it registers very different in the human mind, the difference between somebody like lecturing you and telling you how wrong you are and showing you a story where you figure out, yeah, something's horribly wrong and I'm going to have to think about that. And I've already gotten a whole bunch of first and secondhand responses about normal people watching the movie where it's making them think and it's making them question things and it's entertaining them. Like, even the ones who say, yeah, I'm glad I watched it, and also, I'm going to have to process some stuff and figure out what I think about this. That's what we want. And, like, we can make a movie, and if nobody sees it, who cares? It didn't do any good. So the main thing I want, you know, the pro-freedom people to do is get it in front of people who aren't there yet. Because they're the ones who need to, like, start recognizing and realizing things and questioning things. And I think this particular thing is a really good tool for getting them to do that, but not if it doesn't get in front of them. And obviously we're fighting an uphill battle. We don't have a, you know, Hollywood budget to promote this thing. And so we're relying on, like, actual decent people to do what they can to get it
activism
out there.
Activism! Gosh darn it! Get DVDs, yep. We got duplicators, we put them in all the legislator boxes, because that's the kind of thing I do, because piss them off. We did that with Unintended Consequences. We had 90 copies of Unintended Consequences written in every legislator's mailbox. Did they read it? Don't care. Don't freaking care. You know? Don't care. It's just, did they see it? Don't care. Did they look at the cover? Oh. So this is, you know, I'm telling you, man, I get back, but I got to focus. I got to focus on, you know, building the house thing. But in the meantime, while we're getting a lot of, I got like a month before Christmas of being able to actually do some activism, you know, while I'm piddling around with, you know, paperwork and finalizing land purchase and all that other stuff. But so this is, I can see that everybody is going to see what's going on. They're going to be looking for this kind of an understanding, an explanation of rationalize in their own minds what happened. Because it always, what really stuck in my mind was the final scene in Grapes of Wrath. You ever seen the old black and white Jimmy Stewart or Gary Cooper or whatever it was, Grapes of Wrath movie, you know?
Forever ago, yeah.
At the end, after all the stuff was happening and they had, you know, FDR comes with the work programs and they're, you know, traveling in their Model Ts across the Dust Bowl of and, you know, that kind of crap. All this stuff, you know, government, you know, did work, doing what they're doing, whatever. At the very end, you know, the head actor goes, you know, what happened? You know, how did this happen? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Boom. In the movie. Well, that's what's going to happen now. The Grapes of Wrath was the same thing. How the heck did all this happen? I don't know. We're going to find out, Jones Plantation. You know, you just... So, its time is coming. And it's good enough, it's fun enough, it's clear enough that it can be used to get enough information in the mother-in-law's minds that they get it. And I'll end with this. I just started the book... Red Famine. It was about Stalin's war on the Ukrainian people, you know, them, you know, being starved to death. And Donna and her family is from Ukraine, you know, her grandfather, great-grandfather, they're Ukrainian. So they had my mother-in-law, which we just visited in Pennsylvania on her way here, Donna got her that book, and she read it, because she had a Ukrainian background and so on. Well, she remembers hearing these stories from her grandparents and stuff that lived through it. And they're, you know, kind of, yeah, this happened. She's like, yeah, it's just stories. When she read this book, she's like, oh, my God. She understood it. Where I've been screaming, I go, Mom, it's going to be a food thing. It's always a food thing. With that, you know, from son-in-law Ernie bashing it, you know, all the extended family and everything, food thing. What do you think? Food thing. Food. When it's a food thing, then you know it's a food thing because it's always a food thing. Well, then she read this book. She's like, she was dumbfounded. She's 90 years old. She was just like, whoa, what the heck? All of a sudden, son-in-law not as crazy. He keeps getting less crazy as years go by. So now I took the book. She finished it, and I just started it. I'm going, okay, let me see what's up. I'm going to scream this about food thing. You might learn how they're going to do it. Well, I already know how they're going to do it because they can do it. They'll regulate, prevent, you know, blow up. I mean, whatever the hell they got to do. It's all about control. And the food is the best way to do it. Here it comes. Get off the plantation and get the plantation out of your thinking. It's this. We are our own enslavers. So stop and read Larkin Rose. Larkin, where do they get, you know, how they can hook up with Larkin and all things Larkin? Where do they go?
Well, first of all, go watch the movie at JonesPlantationFilm.com. And then on YouTube, I have about 8 million videos. Amazingly, I haven't been banned on YouTube yet. They've taken a couple things down that are disappeared into the memory hole. But I still have a bunch of stuff
on
YouTube.
Damn it, those are the ones I want to
see. And then I have the RoseChannel.com that has like a million audio recordings and a whole bunch of stuff there. And that has my Candles in the Dark course, and then a thing called Making Anarchy Mainstream. So there's a whole bunch of stuff there. That's therosechannel.com.
Therosechannel.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's the one. And I really wish that, like, a lot of people in the freedom movement are very focused on learning because they're intellectuals and they like philosophizing and learning about stuff. And they're antisocial weirdos like me who their first tendency is not to go talk to other people. But if you don't make yourself to one degree or another push these ideas in a way that actually gets other people to think about it, then you can just be, you know, you can be sitting in your living room knowing how right you are when the tanks roll in. Or you can make enough other people figure out that, yeah, it turns out those weirdo voluntarists were right and that government is not our friend and never was and never will be. And society needs to be something fundamentally different. And what we need is the mentality of humanity to change. And now we have lots of tools for doing that. But those of us already aware of it, we have to use them and get them out there.
Which is why I think those are desperate. I think they're starting to see it happening. I think their timeline is like, yeah, man, we're losing this thing. And I'm going, yes, you are. And Arizona's a really good example because it's just general public opinion is where we spent our time. We didn't compromise for more votes or money or promises of or anything. It was hardcore advocacy of Larkin Rose style, no compromise stuff. And it had, and we got a lot of inspiration from guys like L. Neil Smith, which is a science fiction writer that advocated a lot of the same style that like Larkin did. And then, of course, we all came into our own doing this. And it made a big difference. Maybe not with the government, because they come in and they wanted to seed and make sure they take over Democrat and Napolitano and Arpaio and, you know, Katie Hobbs. But that's just more example of freaking election fraud and manipulation and everything, which we knew. So we ignored it. We don't give a crap. Well, the totals you only got, don't care. Don't care, because don't care. Doesn't matter. Don't care. General public opinion. We're going all people that aren't voting anymore. You know, we got, which is over half anyway. So screw you. Well, that changes an entire state, region, nation, world. And Larkin Rose, big part of that. Larkin, thanks very much. And tell, you know, Andrew Treglia, is that how you say his name, Treglia?
Yep.
You know, tell Andrew, awesome job. All the actors, I mean, every one of them, You know, did just such a good job. Just, well, that's an Andrew thing. I'm just really proud to recommend this movie because it's not light, but, you know, it is fun. You're learning something the whole time, and it is drumhead tight. It is tight. I mean, it's boom, 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 boom. You're not wasting any amount of time. It goes by quickly, and you get learnified. So I'm good luck on it, and I'm hoping your campaign keeps going. I'm hoping enough that you just put out for crowdsourcing that I would promote the crap out of is for the next movie.
Well, we have several, like, in our minds rattling around already, but
boom!
Part of whether that happens is whether people support this one, so...
Well, I think that you got a good enough on this one that if you put up a crowdsourcing thing like they did with Iron Sky 2, you know, that 35, I think paid 35, 45 bucks for a couple of years from then, I was the promise I was going to get me, you know, a Blu-ray DVD. That was it. Okay. You know, I'm down for that. You know, so, you know, what do you think? I don't know. But, damn, you got a good resume, you know, tick on this one. So, you know, you got something else, rock and roll and whatnot. So, here we go. Man, thanks for coming on. This was awesome. I'm glad we got a chance to promote this. And I'm glad I'm on my way back to Arizona IA. But it's going to be, I'm hit and run kind of thing. We're going to slam it. There's a Christmas thing. And then, boom, just leave me alone, which they're not. So then I got to come back and slap them around some more. But... you know, I'm definitely using a lot of your stuff as tools. Thank you. So we'll see you soon. We'll be hooking up early November, so it'll be good to see you, man.
Yeah, we'll see you in Sedona.
Yeah. All right. Peace, brother. Bye, guys.
The Gulf War, smart bomb falling down a chimney, 2,500 missions a day, 100 days. One video of one bomb, Mr. Moss. The American people bought that war.
Mm-hmm.
War is show business. That's why we're here.
They got to know at some point.
Who?
The public.
Sam, get with us. We want you to produce. You want me to produce your war? Not a war. It's a pageant. We need a theme, a song, some visuals. We need, you know, it's a pageant.
It's a pageant.
It's a pageant. That's what it is.
Country's a war.
A change, it had to come. We knew it all along. We were liberated.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.